Let us come back to John's Gospel and the chapter 1. God's Word open before us. Let us come again. Let us ask the Lord to help us this morning. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you that our hearts are stayed upon thee. That is when we are truly and fully blessed. Lord, how often in life we take our eyes off the Lord. How often in life we look around at our circumstances and our trials and our tribulations. Lord, our heart fails us. Lord, help us to focus upon thee. Focus upon Christ. We're mindful this morning that underneath and now all around us are the everlasting arms of God. We thank you that we do not keep ourselves in this life. We thank you that it is the Lord that keeps us. Father, this morning we pray to comfort and encourage thy people. We pray even this morning as we meet together, as we come to consider thy precious word, Lord, that thou will have a word in season for our hearts this morning, that we will be those good witnesses of thine. As we consider the life of John the Baptist, as we learn lessons from him, this man who is sent from God, Lord, may we who are saved this morning, those who are born again by the Spirit of God, may we come to realize that we are all our witnesses, that we're all sent from God to be shining lights in this world, to share the good news of the message of the cross. So Lord, help us to be faithful to thee. Help us to have courage. And help us to serve thee. We pray that there be any who are listening in, Lord, who are unsaved this morning. May they come to the knowledge that they are sinners before a holy and righteous and just God, and not themselves. They cannot do anything to merit eternal life. They can do nothing to deserve eternal salvation. They can do nothing to work their way to heaven. But it's through Christ and Christ alone whereby they can be saved. So Lord, come this morning. Speak to hearts even in this meeting. Speak to those who are listening online. Come and draw near, Lord. Be one of our number this morning. May we know we've been blessed by thee. Lord, speak, we pray. Give help to this preacher, I ask. Come now, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. The appearance of John the Baptist, raw and rugged, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, sent rumbles through the land of Israel, like the tremors of a mighty earthquake. Not for 400 years had there been a true prophet in the land of Israel. Not since the time of Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, had there been a man who would call the nation to repentance and to stir the people up before the Lord. But now down at the River Jordan there was such a man whose searing hot messages heated the fire of revival, quite hot, almost to revolt. A man who caused kings and religious leaders to shift uneasily in their palaces and their temples. A man whose fiery, convicting messages laid bare the sins of a nation and caused strong men to weep. A voice was crying from the wilderness, and the nation held its breath in expectation. Was this the Messiah? Was this the promised one they'd waited so long for? No, John the Baptist was a fiery voice, but he was a voice crying to prepare the way for another. The Messiah who was to come. You know, this morning I'm sure that we went up to the town of Dromore and asked many people who John the Baptist was. Well, very few would have probably ever heard of John the Baptist. Would have known nothing about John the Baptist. But as we come this morning to consider this great man, the Lord Jesus Christ describes him as the greatest man ever born of human parents. Matthew 11, verse 11, the Lord says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist." What a statement. Think of all the great men that have ever been born through the history of this world. What a statement. John was greater than them all, greater than any king, greater than any emperor, greater than any president that ever lived. Greater than any philosopher, any scientist, greater than any of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, greater than them all. The Lord says he's the greatest man ever born of woman. Now the Gospel of John begins these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the writer makes it plain that his gospel, as he pens the words here, that he wanted to make it plain to us who the Lord Jesus was, that he is the one and only Son of God, the eternal, co-equal with the Father, the Son who created everything that exists, and who is the source of all light and life. But twice in the opening verses, St. John interrupts his prologue about the Lord Jesus Christ to add these two pieces of testimony from John the Baptist in verses 6 to 8, and again in verse 15. And then at the end of his prologue, he gives another extended notice of John the Baptist's witness to the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 19 to 34. And I want to consider these verses this morning, these verses that focus upon John the Baptist. And I want to talk about this great man who was sent from God and how we can be inspired to be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, just as John the Baptist was a faithful witness. I want you to notice firstly that he was a God-sent witness. A God-sent witness. In verse 6 we read, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." It's one thing to be sent on a mission, and even an important mission, but it's quite another to be sent on a mission from Almighty God. Nicodemus would say of Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." John would say the same thing about John the Baptist. John was sent from God. He had a call in his life before he was born to be a witness for the Messiah. John the Baptist was chosen by God before he was even born to be the forerunner of the Messiah. His birth was prophesied 400 years before time. Read in Malachi 4 and verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And this is in reference to John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and power of Elias. Before he was even conceived, the archangel Gabriel was sent from heaven to meet his father Zacharias in the holy place in the temple and tell him that he was going to have a son named John, and he had been commissioned from heaven to get God's people to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. In Luke 1 and 17 we read, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the spirit, the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Even while John was in his mother's womb, he was miraculously filled with the Holy Spirit. He was set apart for his holy task. When the boy was born, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and given anointed prophecy over the baby as the prophet of the highest, who would go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. No, except for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, there's never been another birth in all the history of mankind so announced and anointed from heaven. John was sent from God to bear witness of the light. And you and I this morning, even here gathered in Dromore, we have been sent as a witness for Christ. And the call has been on our life too from before we were born. If you're saved this morning, God has saw you and God chose you to be one of his people before you were born for the express purpose that you would live a holy and blameless life before him and before this world. Paul writing in Ephesians 1 and 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." You have been called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You've been called to be an ambassador for Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 10 goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That is God's purpose for your life and mine as his children this morning. You may not have acknowledged this, you may not have known this even, but before you were born, God had set you apart that one day you would be his, and one day you would be a witness for the light of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist's job was to bear witness to the light, to point people to Jesus so they might believe on him. And that is our job even here this morning. We are not the light, but we are the light sent to point men to the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way as John the Baptist, you and I are called to be beacons right here, pointing people to the true light. Wherever you're found this morning, here in Dromore, or further afield, wherever you're tuning into this service, you're called to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be the only witness, you may be the only light that some person may ever come in contact with. Many people will never come to a church service. Many people will never tune in online and listen to the gospel being preached. But you know, you work among people. You work among the ungodly. You have unsafe friends and loved ones, work colleagues. And you are the light. You are the light that is there to bring them to the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been sent by God to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with the world. John was a God-sent witness. And I pray and hope that you are also. Notice also, John was a bold witness. Look at verse 15. And John bare witness of him and cried. John was a bold and courageous witness. John was a man who was not afraid to stand up for the Lord. When John was growing, instead of taking that easy life of a priest in the temple, he chose a life of hardness and holiness in the desert. He lived a simple and sacrificial life of self-denial for God. We read in Mark 1 and 6, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. John was a simple man. He did not care for the things of the world. All he cared about was serving the Lord. He was a bold witness. He knew that his mission was to prepare the Messiah's way, and he gave himself to that mission 100%. He was a man of courage, a man of conviction, a man who was not swayed by the winds of popular opinion, who spared his words for no one. We read in Luke 3 and verse 7, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Begin not to say of in yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John called out the religious leaders of his day. He called them a bunch of vipers, a bunch of snakes. He warned them that they must repent if they do not want to see God's wrath upon them. He even dared to publicly denounce the king Herod for committing adultery with his brother's wife. John was not afraid to preach the full counsel of God. John was not afraid of public opinion. It did not sway him. It did not change him from preaching the truth. He did not water it down to make it more acceptable to them. He was a bold witness for the Lord. And again this morning we are called to be bold and courageous witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this day in our country, it's becoming more difficult to be so. But yet we're called to be so. Christ hasn't called us to be cowards who never dare to ever mention his name outside of the church. He's calling us to go in boldly into the public square and to share our witness for Christ. In the job, in the factory floor, in the classroom, with our neighbours, in our daily lives, we're called to be courageous in telling others of the gospel. You know, the Muslims aren't shy about talking about their faith. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses aren't shy about going door to door and peddling their heresies. And as Christ's disciples, we must be bold, we must be courageous as well. You see, we have the truth this morning. We have the word of the living God. We have the words of eternal life. And surely it's too good not to share with a lost world. We must be bold witnesses. Notice something else here about John. Notice he was a humble witness. A humble witness. In verse 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. John was a man on fire for God. The crowds came to see him burn. They flocked to hear this man preach. From all Judea, the common people came, the farmers and the shepherds. From Jerusalem came the academics, the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors, the lawyers. They all came to hear this man preach. They were going all over the country to hear this famous preacher. His name became so well known that he's even talked about in the king's palace. And when they came to hear this man preach, John did not lift up his own name before these men. John was not worried about his own standing, his own status. But rather John courageously and humbly pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all about Christ for John. And it must all be about Christ for us as his followers. John was as humble a witness as he could be. As his fame spread throughout the nation, the religious leaders decided they needed to go to investigate this controversial preacher down by the River Jordan. And they sent the deputation of priests and Levites to find out exactly what it was about John and why the people were coming to hear him. So they asked him here, "Who are you? Are you the Messiah that has been spoken of?" And here was John's chance. If there ever was a chance to claim fame, here was his chance. To step out and to be honoured and to be bowed down and be worshipped, here was his chance if he wanted fame or popularity. Thousands were ready to believe that John was the Messiah and at his word unfurled the banner of revolt against the Romans. Everyone hung breathlessly waiting for John's answer before these men. What did John say? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." John confessed, but he confessed Jesus. He didn't deny the Lord, but he quickly, gladly, and humbly confessed that he was not the Messiah, but the Christ alone. They say then, "What then, art thou Elias?" They knew that Malachi had prophesied that before the Messiah would come, Elijah would return to prepare the way for him. And even Christ affirmed that John was the one that Malachi had prophesied about. In Matthew 17 and verse 12, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. John had come in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way for the Messiah. But John was so humble that he wouldn't even claim the title that the Lord said was rightly his. "Art thou Elias?" "I am not," he said. And then a third question. Moses had prophesied long before that one day God would raise up another prophet like himself. So they ask him, "Art thou that prophet then?" Again in the hushed suspense comes John's answer, shorter and more direct than before. "No." How disappointed John's followers must have been. It seemed as if John was deliberately spurning the nation's honour and missing this greatest opportunity of his life. So then came his answer, verse 22. "Who art thou then," they say, "that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And there is John's answer given in the deepest humility. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." This is the greatest man ever born of human parents. Yet he's humbly answering that he is not the light. Just one sent to bear witness to the light. Not the sun, but the morning star that announces the dawn. Not the bridegroom, but just the best man. Not the shepherd, just the porter to open the door. But what humility. We too are called to humility in our witnessing for Christ. As we witness, we must do so with humility, as one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Humility is not cowardice or reluctance to witness. Neither is it watering the gospel down or lowering the gospel standard for true repentance or in genuine surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, true, real humility is pointing people away from ourselves, pointing people away from a church or denomination. It's refusing to be flattered by the praise of men when witnessing, and likewise refusing to be silenced by their criticism. Real humility in witnessing is just to keep pointing men to the Saviour, whether they applaud us or curse us. Albert Simpson wrote these lovely words: "Not I but Christ be honoured, love exalted. Not I but Christ be seen, be known, be heard. Not I but Christ in every look and action. Not I but Christ in every thought and word." May we have the desire of John the Baptist, that Christ would increase and that we would decrease. John was a God-sent witness, a bold witness, a humble witness. Notice also he was a faithful witness. Look at verse 26. John answered them, saying, "I baptize of water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not." There was those who tried to discourage John and shut him up, but John would not be silenced. Once the priests and the Levites got their answer as to whom John was claiming to be, they tried to question this man's right to say what he was saying and do what he was doing. In verse 25, they say, "Well, why baptizest thou then if you're not the Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet?" In other words, who are you to tell us to repent if you aren't the Christ? Who are you to tell us to be baptized if you aren't Elias or the prophet? They wanted to silence John. They wanted to shut up his witness, but John would not quit. He would not give in. He was a faithful witness. He just kept on pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "It's true, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elias, I'm not the prophet, but listen, even though you haven't recognized him yet, he is here. The true Messiah is already here before you. He has stood in these banks, he's been baptized in this water, and now he's standing among you. He's here. And I'm not worthy to even stoop down and latch his shoelaces. That's why I'm baptizing, because I'm trying to point you to him and away from me and anyone else. I'm looking to point you to him." John was faithful, and we too must be faithful in our witnessing. We must remain faithful and refuse to be shut up and shut out of the public square. We see that so often around us. The country tries to put us out of the public square, and they try to put us out of culture. They tell us to be quiet. They try to shut us up. They don't want to hear the gospel being preached. They try to remove us. But we must be faithful in our witnessing. Notice also, John was an evangelical witness. Look at verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said," the day after the delegation of priests and Levites came down to him, John was again down at the Jordan baptizing with some of his disciples. When he saw Jesus coming towards him, he cried out, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John faithfully pointed men to Jesus as a true sacrifice for their sins and the only Saviour for their souls. He pointed them to the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, not our Lamb, but the Lamb of God. No, there's no other sacrifice for sin, no other way to be saved from our sins but through Christ and Christ alone, the Lamb of God. And John was clear that Jesus was to be prepared before him because he was before him. And this is a clear reference to the Lord's eternality and to his exalted position with his Father. Jesus was not just a good man who came to be a good example. He was God come in the flesh to die in the place of sinners, to be buried and raised up again from the dead, to be victorious over sin, over death, and over the devil. And all those who repent and believe in him shall be saved from their sins. John was an evangelical witness. He pointed them to Christ, not just as a good example by which to live by. And again, we see that in our land, don't we? In so many churches, even this morning, the gospel will not be preached. But yes, the Lord's name will be mentioned, but merely as an example. What a lovely man he was, what a good man he was, and we should follow his teachings and try to live like him and to be good like him. And that will be enough to get you to heaven. That's what's preached from so many churches today. But that's not what John preached. He pointed to Christ as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice who died in the place of sinners. He said he is the only Saviour for sinners, and we must be a faithful witness, for neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must point them to Christ. Notice also John was an apologetic witness. An apologetic witness. In verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now, what do I mean by an apologetic witness? I don't mean that you apologize for what you believe in, but I mean that John was able to give a reason for his faith. In verse 31, John admitted that at first he didn't know who the Messiah was going to be. He didn't know it was Jesus. But when God called and commissioned John as a forerunner, he didn't tell John in advance who the Messiah would be or exactly who would come. He just told John to get busy preaching and getting the people ready. And then he told John that he would know the Messiah when he came, because he would see the Holy Spirit descend upon him and remain in that person. And upon whom the Spirit descended and remained, that would be the person who's baptized with the Holy Spirit. So John was able to say, I know Jesus is the Messiah because I saw the Holy Spirit descend and remain on him when he was baptized. And in a similar way this morning, we too should be able to give reasons for the faith that we hold to. Our witness will always be stronger. It'll be stronger when we're able to give reasons for our faith. When we can say, I know the Bible is true because of fulfilled prophecy, and here are some examples. I know that Christ is really God's Son because of the proofs of the resurrection. We should be diligent students of the Word of God. We should know what we believe and why we believe it. Think of the words of Peter in 1 Peter 3 and 18. He said, we are to be ready always to give an answer to every man of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I'm sure as Peter wrote those words, his mind went back to that night when he stood in Pilate's hall and that little maid asked him, are you also one of his disciples? And three times he denied the Lord. He didn't have an answer for them. And we must have an answer. We must be faithful. We must know what we believe and why we believe it. And here John the Baptist was an apologetic witness. He knew what he believed and why he believed it. There's one last thing I want to say about John's witness and about our witness. John was a God-sent witness, a humble witness, a bold witness, a faithful witness, an evangelical witness, an apologetic witness, but finally and lastly, he was a personal witness. A personal witness. Verse 34, John the Baptist gives this last witness to Christ. He said, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John ended with his own personal testimony of faith. John the Baptist ended his witness by saying, I'm telling you something I just did not hear from someone else. I'm telling you something that I saw with mine own eyes and heard with mine own ears and touched with mine own hands. I saw Jesus and I knew him. I heard him teach. I saw the Holy Spirit come down on him, and I knew from my own experience and from my own heart that he is the Son of God. John could give his own personal testimony of faith. So let me ask you in closing this morning, can you give that testimony of faith in Christ? If I were to ask you to come up to this trailer, up to this pulpit, and tell everyone here who has gathered all about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell how he is your Lord and Savior, could you do it? All these folks here today, could you tell them that you are once a sinner headed for hell, but now you're saved by the grace of God? Could you tell of how the Holy Spirit had convicted you of your sins and showed you were a lost sinner before a holy and righteous God? You deserve to be punished for that sin. Could you tell of how you were convicted and you were drawn to Christ and how that Christ saved your soul? Could you turn to the person in the car next to you or parked next to you and could you tell them that Christ is your Saviour this morning? Can you speak of him as your own and personal Saviour? Are you a personal witness? John the Baptist spoke personally of his saving faith and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing that we can do, is have a personal testimony of Christ's saving and keeping grace. And I wonder, as you listen, are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ as your Saviour? Can you go into the world? Can you be a witness? Maybe you come to church and maybe people around you may think you are saved this morning. Maybe you have your Bible, you're dressed, you look the part, you act the part. But deep down your heart has not been regenerated. And you cannot put into practice the things we have spoken of this morning. And maybe your neighbours and friends think because you go to church, well, that person is good living, that person is a Christian. But you can never put these things into practice and be a personal witness for the Saviour, because you've never been transformed by His saving grace. You've never been saved by the gospel of Christ. Well, I pray this morning that you'll come to know Christ as your Saviour. And those of us who are saved this morning, we will learn to put these things into practice. May we come to realise that we are God-sent witnesses. We're saved to serve. We're not saved to sit back and cruise through life till we reach heaven. We're saved to serve. We're saved to share the gospel. So let us be bold witnesses. Let us be humble witnesses. Let us be faithful witnesses. Let us be evangelical witnesses, apologetic witnesses, and faithful witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts this morning for His name's sake. Let us just close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank You for Thy precious word. We thank You for the challenge that we find therein. O Lord, how often we have failed Thee. How often we have had those opportunities to speak a word for Thee, to tell others of the Saviour. And Lord, how often we have failed to take that opportunity. Father, forgive us. Lord, each and every one of us, even this preacher, is guilty of it. Fear overcomes us. And Lord, we are driven back. Help us to be bold witnesses. Help us to be courageous for our faith this morning. Courageous for Christ. All the ungodly are courageous and bold and going on the streets and peddling their falsehoods. The false religions of the world are not afraid to share their views on their religions. But how often the Christian is fearful. Oh Lord, help us to be bold witnesses. Help us to be faithful. Help us not to water down the message of the gospel, but to preach Christ and Him crucified. Oh Lord, help us to be a personal witness. Lord, that's near enough the most difficult thing. Those one-on-ones even, with those family members, those ones we work with, our friends and neighbours. And Father, we pray that everyone here this morning and those tuning in can speak and say they have that personal testimony of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, be with us throughout this day. Keep Thy hand upon us for good, remembering it is Thy day. It is the Sabbath, a day set aside unto Thee. May we meditate upon these things throughout the day. Bring us back this evening hour unto the sound of Thy word. Bring the unsaved in unto the sound of the gospel. Bless the gospel as it goes forth. Bless our sister Ruth as she comes to minister in song. Lord, do our souls good, we pray. Part us now with Thy fear and with Thy favour. Keep Thy hand upon us for good. We ask and pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.